Got me feeling ready. So I praise the Lord for what he did for me. I surely don't deserve it. None of us do. But thank the Lord, he sure has blessed us. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. It's been a rough year. It's been a difficult year. And we can look at it and say, well, it's been a real bad year and things don't look any better. But I got news for you. Things do look better. And you said, but wait a minute, now things are going the opposite direction. Well, I tell you, we're going to have to get our eyes off of things and get our eyes on the one that makes the difference. And to understand, everything's going to be all right. If you're a child of God, he's going to bless and meet our needs. But it surely is discouraging. Even as Brother Joe spoke in Sunday school this morning about being weary. We get weary sometimes. We miss some of our folks that are unable to be here, maybe because of health problems and the COVID situation. But I'm grateful today. Let me make sure that you understand. I appreciate those of you that are here, that you come in order that you might hear the Word of God. And I pray today that the Lord might bless and speak to your heart as we look into the Word of God today. I'm going to begin reading today in verse 24 of Ephesians chapter number 5. I would say, as far as I remember, and I don't know, I've been at it 40-something years, so it's very possible I did, maybe forgot about it. That's possible. I forget about a lot of things. But I don't know that I've ever preached this passage the way I'm going to preach it this morning. Oftentimes, when we begin to speak on this subject, beginning in verse number 24 and reading through, it's talking about the fact of husbands loving your wives, wives submitting yourself to the husband. But the Lord Jesus compares that to the church. There's two great institutions that the Lord ordained. One was the church, and the other was the home. I want to say today that the home is important as much as the church is important, if not more important, as we understand. And I don't want to say more important, because neither one, they go hand in hand. But as Brother Joe even said this morning in Sunday school, it's the responsibility of the parents to teach the children, to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and teach them to love God and to set an example for them to be faithful to the Lord. But when I begin reading this passage of Scripture and thinking about the new year, as we begin a new year, this being the first preaching that we've done here today, I'm grateful as I looked at it and understand that really the emphasis is not so much just on the husband loving your wife, although you should, and on the wives submitting yourselves to your husbands, and that you should. But it's also what we see is what Jesus thinks about the church. And so I've entitled the message, The Christ-Like Church. I first had a title, The Christ-Like Church in 2021. And then it dawned on me, dummy, we don't want just a Christ-like church in 2021. We want it in 2020, and I'm grateful we had it. But I want us to get better. I want us to see God do something in each and every one of our lives in 2021. And the best way to do that is to get back to the old teaching of the Word of God, understanding what the importance of the church really is. If you have your Bibles, verse number 24. He said, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. He said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come together this morning. And Lord, I thank you for the church. I can't imagine what this world would be like without churches that preach the truth of the Word of God. Lord, my heart and mind goes to foreign countries today where missionaries are having to hide in their homes and have church there because somebody tells them they can't. I think of Brother Jerry Alford, our missionary that established many churches in Venezuela. And yet here, he's just had to be smuggled back into the United States in order that he might come home because of the dictatorship. And Lord, the refusal to allow them to do what needs to be done in that place. Father, today I long and pray that you would never allow America to get to the point where we would be without our churches. Lord, it's been hard enough this year to even be down for periods of time and not able to go and hear the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that never happens again. I pray, Lord, that you'd intervene. Give us the place where we can be fed. Lord, give us the water so we can have our thirst quenched. And Lord, help us to be the servants that we need to be. as we serve you and walk according to your will. And we'll thank you for what you do, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. When I look at the passage of Scripture, what I see is, I've said oftentimes, I'm preaching on the home. But I want you to see the emphasis that Christ puts on the fact about the church. And I want you to understand today, the church is a very important institution. The Bible said, as Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Friend, I want you to know today, I believe with all my heart, as long as we're saved, as long as we're walking in the will of God, as long as we're seeking God's working in our life, I believe that we can trust God. He's still the same God He's always been, and He's still able to do what He's done in the past, and He's still able to use us to accomplish that if we're faithful to Him in doing what He'd have us to do. Now, the value of the church has gone down in the eyes of a lot of people today. The world don't think so much about the church. In fact, today it seems to be a great split in our country over people that are Christians and people that aren't Christians. People that deny the Word of God, people that deny church and talk about it. And people say this, they said, oh, church is just your crutch. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You call it what you like, but it sure does keep me standing up. It keeps me moving on. It keeps me serving God, and I need the church, and so do you. I think we've got to a time where people don't understand the importance of it. We join all kind of things, and why in the world wouldn't we want to belong to the church for which Jesus died for, in order that we could serve Him and be obedient to Him? In fact, some would say that the world is better off without the church. But I would say to them, the Bible said in the Word of God, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I would say the fool has said in his heart, there's no need of churches, that there's something wrong. Can I say to you today, a church is a place to give people help along the way. It's a place to come in and to preach the Word of God and allow people to be set free and to give them a quality of life. Friend, today our life is dictated by the Word of God, or it should be, and if it is, it will lead us to a life that is pleasing and acceptable unto God, and it'll make things a whole lot easier along the way. I can't stand missing church. I love to be in church. I long to be in church. And again, I'm not up here trying to toot my horn, but I'm going to tell you, I thank God that He's enabled me through the years to be able to miss very few times. And I say that because He's kept me well enough to be able to do that. But I tell you today, we've got to a point anymore that we mistake the value of the church. And I think sometimes even Christians deny the value of their church by their lack of attendance and by their lack of faithfulness and being what God would have them to be. And I think today that we need to understand the value of the church by the world. You need to forget that and understand the value of the church by the Word. We want to find out what God says in the Word of God about that. Now listen, look at verse 25. He said, husbands, love your wives. And I would say to you today, that's a wise thing to do, and it's important, and you're commanded to do that. But he said, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, when I stop and think about that, I love my wife, and I thank the Lord for the years that God gave it to me. And again, I have to thank Brother Joe and Miss Priscilla. They helped her out years ago. She lived with them, and probably if he hadn't been preaching East Side, we'd have probably never met. And so I'm grateful for my wife. But do you realize what I just read? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You can determine the value of the church by the value you put on the life of Christ. Friend, today, what do you think of Christ? The Bible says, what think ye of Christ? You tell me what think you of Christ, and I'll tell you what ye think of the church. Friend, Jesus died for the church. And if he died for the church, how much more should we realize the importance of loving the church in the place that he's given us to serve? The church involves all of those who are saved. They are saved because they came and heard the Word of God. I remember Brother Joe back in 1973. I think it was in March of 1973. I don't remember exactly the date, but I remember I went to church on that Sunday night. I believe it was a Sunday night. I had not been going to church, and Brother Joe and them and my daddy, they just kept beating on my door and wouldn't leave me alone. And I don't remember what all it was that brought me there, but I came on that night. And I heard the word of God preached. And I tell you, I felt a stabbing in my heart. And I tell you, when the invitation was given, I went forward. And I know I get emotional about a lot of things, but that night I was almost uncontrollable emotional because God broke my heart. It wasn't because I wasn't raised, and it wasn't because I'd heard the Word of God and trusted Christ as my Savior. It was because I was a wayward sinner lost on my way to hell. And yet the Word of God, and by the way, that's the only thing that's going to change people's lives. I think I don't have time to get on that message, but listen, the church does so much for us. He spoke this morning about fellowship. I tell you, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. We need fellowship, but it's feasting and feeding upon the Word of God. I believe this is the most valuable organization in the world. What other organization can tell you how to be saved and go to heaven? What other organization can we can't give it to you, but we can tell you the one who can give you eternal life. Then quickly, not only do we see the value of the church, but we see the voice of the church. Now, who has the authoritative voice to tell the church what to do? Can I remind you, first of all, that I'm nothing more than just a old measly messenger boy. God sent me with a message to you, and I have no authority to tell you anything apart from the Word of God that God tells me to tell you. He said in verse number 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." There's the answer. Who has the authority? Christ does. He's the head of the church. The authoritative voice of the church comes from the head of the church, and he is Christ. I believe with all my heart that God calls men to be pastors. And I'm thankful today to be your pastor, and I believe I'm your leader. But Christ is our head, and I have a responsibility to report to him before I report to you. And when I report to you, I'm to give you what he tells me to give you from the Word of God. That's why you ought never be offended. If I preach the Word of God, if he preached the Word of God, whoever preached the Word of God, the Bible said, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." The head of the church is neither the Apostle Peter, nor is it the Pope of Rome. The head of the church is Christ. He's the one that purchased the church with his own blood in order that we might have everlasting life. Christ is the head of the church, and he's the foundation of the church. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 tells us that. But listen, if you would, at verse number 24. Let's look at that again. Let's look at it. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. That's who we answer to. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. We are subject unto Christ. It's telling us that we're under the subjection of Christ. He purchased me with his blood. He saved me by his grace. But now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. And I have a responsibility today to obey him and do what he tells me to do as he leads us. And I want to stop right here just a minute and throw this out. Again, I'm telling you, I feel as if, not to say we're perfect by any means, but I'm going to tell you the years of ministry in this church have been a blessing because I believe we've got a bunch of people that believe what I'm preaching today. I hope all of you do. But we've got some people that believe it, and they've allowed Christ to be the head. But you've been so good to me because you've entrusted to me the responsibility to do what Christ would have us to do. We've accomplished a lot. We didn't accomplish it on our own. We accomplished it through Christ because we were doing his will. We see things happening, and God's blessed us even through the COVID. He's blessed us financially, and the offerings have come in, and I'm grateful to that. I'm grateful for it, but listen, as long as we're doing what Christ wants us to do, he'll bless his church. And as long as we as individuals are doing what we ought to do, he'll bless your family and he'll bless your home. Then telling us that we're under his subjection, if Christ is the head of the church, then he has the authoritative voice to do what he wants us to do. Friend, this is our instruction book, our guideline. There's no other book that ought to override this book because this is the inspired, infallible Word of God. I tell you, if you had to get rid of every book in your house, get rid of all of them, but don't get rid of the Word of God. From the Word of God, there's no two-legged human that's able to take the authority away from Christ, because He's the one that died for the church, and I'm grateful for it. I'll tell you today, I'm excited today that I look to the future, and I've been discouraged. I've told you that. I've been weary. I tell you, this has been one of the most awfulest things that I've ever experienced in my life, and I wish that we would have never gone through it, but I simply say to you that even through it all, God's been good. And I say, even as we enter into another year, it's not the truth that we may not have problems, because the Bible said in this world we will have tribulation. But the fact of it is our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and are we putting the thing that He died for ahead of everything else in our life? He died for the church. I ride by churches, and I see some of them closed. I ride by churches and I see two or three cars. You said, but COVID, I understand. But friend, I'm telling you, from what I'm hearing from evangelists and missionaries all over this nation, churches seem to be dying because we've lost the understanding of the value of the church. We've lost the understanding of the voice of the church. And friend, the church is not dying because Christ died. He still lives. The church dies when we as Christians begin to die in our lives and do not put the proper perspective upon the church. Listen to me, folks. He died for the church. And I wish we could understand that in a way that would be pleasing to Him. My next point, I slipped in. It's not actually in the Scripture, so I'm just going to add it in because I feel like it needs to be here. Not that I'm changing the Word of God, understand. But I do believe the importance of the vitality of the church. I use the word vitality because of what it means. It means liveliness, energy, and strength. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. Nobody enjoys a dead church. I tell you today, if Christ is alive and He's our authority, the church ought to be alive. Now, I'm not talking about wildfire. I'm not talking about crazy stuff that's distracting. The Bible said everything that's done, let it be done decently and in order. And I believe today that we don't need to do anything that would distract from the preaching of the Word of God. But I tell you, we ought to act a little bit excited about the fact that we were able this morning to come to the house of God and hear the Word of God and listen. We ought not to be sitting there watching our watches to see what time we're going to be out. We ought to be seeking God's will and trying to get in. Revelation 3, verse 14, the Bible said, and the angel of the church of Laodicea, verse number 15, he said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would that thou art either cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The other day I went in to take some medicine, haven't taken a lot of that in my old age. And I went and got my, thank Lord, my wife that keeps it separated for me in little pill holders, and I'd never get it right. But I ran in there the other day to take some medicine, and I turned on the faucet, but I turned it the wrong way. I was just going to get a little cold water out of the spigot, and I got it, but I was in such a hurry, I popped my pills. That don't sound good, does it? I popped my pills in my mouth. And so I took a drink of the water, and I had got some hot water. It wasn't hot. It was lukewarm. Oh, that was awful. I had to swallow it because I had them pills going down. But I tell you what, I don't like warm water. But I tell you what, the Bible said that that's the way the church of Laodicea was. And it said that the Lord said, this is what He thought about it. He said, I word that you were either cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Now, wait a minute. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? Jesus died for the church, the organization. Listen, we ought to love the church. We all love coming to the church. We ought to thank God for the fellowship of God's people. I was talking to somebody the other day, and we was just talking about the blessings that we've missed with our fellowships. We've not been able to do much around here because of all that's been going on. But yet, what He said is, if we're lukewarm, He spills out of our mouth. Now, I think that if anything, don't misunderstand me, but we cannot let this pandemic get us to the point to where we are complacent with what we're doing and accept it as being okay. I long for the day to go back to the nursing home. I look forward to the day that we can go back to YDC. Friend, I told Brother Joe the other day, I feel like our ministries have been just stripped away. It's somewhat become that way, not by our doings, but because of the circumstances. But we cannot lose the fight that's in us. We cannot lose the excitement that we've had maybe in the past, but we've got to ask God to revive us and to restore us and bring us back to getting excited about doing what He'd have us to do in the future. And I'm going to tell you something, you can still pass out tracts. You can still witness to people along the way, and it's important that we understand the importance of it. Christ lets them know that He don't like lukewarmness. Somebody the other day recently told me this is what he said. And he wasn't talking about himself so much, but he said, I believe we've got to a stage where people have just seemingly gotten lazy. And I'm just telling you what was said to me, and I tell you, if we're not careful, I feel sometimes like I've been lazy. I feel like because of the circumstances that I'm not able to do what I've always been able to do. Sometimes God speaks to my heart, and when He does, I just have to pray, Lord, help us to get over this. Help us to get back to doing what we need to do. But if we're not careful, we'll continue to get satisfied and complacent where we are. But I believe the church is coming back. I believe it's coming back. I tell you, it may be a whole different look. It may be different people. I don't know. I'm not talking about y'all. Y'all keep staying with me, okay? But I'm just simply saying, if this is what Christ wants, then shouldn't that be what we ought to be? Since this is the case, I want to mention some areas that ought to be vigorous and energetic and enthusiastic. First of all, worship. We come to the house of God. We come to worship. The word worship means fervent, enthusiastic, vigorous. We had Levi and Ava the other day, and I'm going to tell you, I just love them to death, but I've never seen but energy. Man, we brought them over to the gym the other afternoon, and Levi was running around there. They were going wide open. Boy, I long for those days. I remember when I used to have that energy. We hear people say, man, I'd give anything to have their energy. Well, Christ can give us what we need if we'll depend on Him and ask Him to guide us in what we do. You see, I don't believe in working up the Spirit to kill a service, but I do believe our worship ought to be lively, not dead. We are Baptists. And there's a lot of Christians that say, well, preacher, if we get too excited, somebody's going to think that we're part of the charismatic group or that we speak in tongues or whatever and whatever, whatever. Friend, I tell you, I'm not too worried about what they think about me. I'm more worried about what Christ thinks about me. And you know where I stand and you know what I preach. But friend, there's nothing wrong with getting excited about serving God. I tell you, I love football. I've watched it, and it's almost over. Thank goodness. I think we got one more game down the road here. And I tell you, the other day I was watching it, and the team I didn't want to win did something good. And I went, Levi said, Granddad, why'd you say that? I said, because I don't want them to do good. That's not my team. He said, that's not your team. I said, no, that's not my team. But I'm going to tell you, when my team did something, I can get excited. I tell you, I go to all the high school football games, and I tell you what, you know what I've been like on some Sunday mornings, a little hoarse when I get here. But you know what? If we can get excited about somebody kicking a ball all over a field and busting each other's heads open and knocking them down, surely we could get excited about Jesus dying for this church. I'm simply saying in 2021, let's restore the, you know, David said, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Lord, restore us to the place, get us back to the place where we used to be. And Lord, help us to be excited about the future. And we can be down and out and we might not know what's going on, but God's in control. The second thing I notice is His Word. We come to worship, but we come to hear His Word. Now, a preacher that don't get excited when he preaches the Word of God, and every preacher that gets excited may not show it the way some do, but I tell you what, your heart ought to be excited. I'm excited today that I'm able to stand here without anybody telling me I can't and open this book and share the Word of God with you today. I've been in the ministry now about 43 years. I've been pastoring 41. My goodness, I don't know where time went. But I'm going to tell you, I still get excited about preaching the Word of God. I'm glad that when I stand here, I realize that before me is the most blessed book that's ever been written. I still believe the preached Word of God would change lives. It changed mine. He said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, therefore, according to the Word of God. A message that is birthed in a preacher's soul when he studies the Word of God ought to get him excited. I tell you today, every one of us deserves to be in hell right now. But thank God, Jesus loved us enough that He died for us and for the church in order that we might serve Him. After being in the ministry for many years, I still can't wait for the opportunity to preach the Word of God. I told Brother Joe yesterday, I said, man, I hate to pass up on the opportunity. I love to hear him preach. But I tell you, I sit there Wednesday night and let the young man, he's going to Australia, and he brought a good message, and we had a good service, and I'm grateful for it. And then, like I said, we got some other things coming. But I tell you, I've been working on this message, and it was in my heart. And I kind of was like Jeremiah. You know, the time Jeremiah wanted to quit, he said, I'm quitting. But then he said, I couldn't, because he said the Word was like a fire in my bones, and I couldn't be still. Any preacher that's worth his salt, it'll burn in his heart until he shares it with those. Somebody said people are called to preach. Listen, if you call to preach, you can find somewhere to preach. I tell you, well, maybe we're restricted now, but I tell you, there's nursing homes, there's all places and things that we can do to preach the Word of God. And then all is there worship, and is there the Word, but there's working. We're talking about vitality. We're talking about being energetic. We should be energetic and zealous in carrying out the work of the church. Friend, this church is only as strong as its members. Not because of the head, because the head is the strength of the church. But friend, if the members are not responding to the head, the church dies. And the life will be gone from it. And I tell you today, sadly enough, people oftentimes ignore the importance of the church. I've told this illustration on many occasions, but I remember the young man that the church pastor and the people at church had tried to go and get a young teenage boy to come to church, and he just wouldn't come. And they kept on at him about coming, and they wanted him to come, and he wouldn't come. His daddy wouldn't come and wouldn't bring him. Then one day the boy got in trouble. His dad went down to the church. The church was all boarded up. He looked through one little window where he could see a crack, and there was cobwebs on the offering plates, and it was obvious it was closed up. And he ran to the deacons, the men that used to be the deacon of that church, and he began to chew them out. How can you close the church? My boy needs your help. Let me tell you something. That man's boy needed help while he could get help, but he neglected the church. Friend, we're going to be a mess in America. You know, England used to send missionaries to us years ago. Some of the great preachers of our day are from over there. But you know what? I see the same thing happening in America that's happened over there. Missionaries tell me they go over there. A lot of times they don't have too hard time finding a building because there's a bunch of them closed down and nobody's using. And I'm telling you, that could happen right here in America. You said, not here. Oh, yes, here, if we're not careful. Quickly, another point, and I've got to move on to my next point, but witnessing. We should be zealous and energetic in our witness. In Luke 14:23, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. That's what the bus ministry is all about. That's what passing out tracts is all about. The Bible said in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Of all things that we do at the church, witnessing ought to be on the forefront of our mind, because we won't save people, or excuse me, lost. We won't save people to come to you. We want lost people to come and get saved and hear the Word of God. Friend, I tell you, it's not going to be how many people we ran, how many socials we had, or how many activities we held. But what's going to mount is when they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and people that we should have witnessed to, He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Sorry, I never knew you. Friend, I tell you, if you go to church and the preacher don't help you to understand that you're lost or one day was lost, then you need to be in a church that preaches the truth of the Word of God. Quickly, number four, the virtue of the church. The word virtue, means good quality, high merit, or good value. Listen to our text. Look at verse 26. He said that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. I got ahead of myself a while ago, and I used that verse. I'll use it again. He said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the word of God. I think Brother Joe hit on it a while ago. You can try everything there is to solve your sin problem and to get clean, but you can only get cleansed through the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ that comes from the word of God. The Bible said the word will point out our dirty spots in our life. Somebody said, you don't, when I go to church, you don't make me feel too comfortable. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. God didn't want you to feel comfortable. He wants you to come and be under conviction about sin in your life or the salvation you need, and He wants you to do what God would have you to do in being faithful to Him. We're living in a day when a lot of churches don't even want a pastor who preaches on sin. They're afraid that they might offend somebody. Now, again, I'm going to tell you something. I may say things and you may be offended, but if you are, it's because you're at disagreement with what the Bible says. And friend, if you won't get mad at somebody or get offended at somebody, if it comes from the Bible, you have to get mad at God. And I wouldn't recommend that, by the way. But people get kind of, oh, through the years, and I've seen people get a little sideways and a little upset because I preach something straight from the Bible. I'm going to tell you something. As long as it comes out of this Bible, I make no apology for anything that I preach. And today, we all ought to be understanding that in our lives. I said this, and I don't mean it. I have nobody in mind, in no particular mind, but I tell you, when COVID came, it seems as if some preachers was glad to get to close down for a little while. I don't know if they wanted a break, but I'll tell you what, I don't know how anybody could close down. And again, I know I'm not condemning people that closed down when it was at its worst. I'm not. But I'm simply saying, friend, I tell you, it broke my heart. And I'm glad we were still able to come and broadcast and keep going. And I'm thankful for those who have been able to come. And what a blessing. But I'm going to tell you something today. God wants a pure church. He wants the church that has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. God wants me to preach the whole counsel of God. This is not a buffet or a smorgasbord. You don't just take a little bit of here and a little bit there. Take what I want, leave that. Friend, listen. It's the Word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And no matter what we say, there's something about being at church. I remember some of you when you were homesick and said, I watched on the internet. And I'm glad we say watch on the internet, preacher, but it just wasn't like being there. You know why? Because the Spirit of God dwells in our midst. We're here and it's God working. And again, I'm thankful that we're able to project it and put it up. But today, we need to understand God wants us to preach the Word of God. I preach a lot of messages on the storms of life. I could tell you today that I've had a lot of storms in my life, but probably nothing to compare to some folks I know. Surely nothing compared to what Jesus endured. Nothing compared to what Paul endured. Nothing compared to what Stephen endured. Friend, I tell you what, overall, God's been good to me. And I'm grateful today. But I will tell you today, I stand committed to this Bible. To preach it, to teach it, to share it, because it's the only thing that leads somebody to Christ. You cannot be saved apart from the Word of God. Did you know that? Now, somebody said, well, have you ever not led somebody to the Lord without a Bible? I have. But I got enough of it committed right here. And I tell them, and I tell anybody, listen, you have to believe what I'm telling you if you want to be saved. But there's nothing that takes the place of taking the Bible and showing people where they can go down the verses and share with them that